As I came this morning, I kind of slept in a little bit and got here a little later than I'd like to, and I was working on the message which the Lord started giving me on Monday or Tuesday. I had Judy jot some things down as we were traveling. And I just felt the leading that I needed to come in here and pray. As I came in here and knelt at the kneelers, the Holy Spirit just gave me one word. He just said, radical. I realize after going to Webster's dictionary that the word radical, as we shared a little bit earlier, means extreme. It means extreme changes. It can mean extreme mindset. Anything that's extreme. And the church has become anything but extreme. Instead of being a counterculture to what some things are happening in the world, we became part of the culture. The church has come to a place where it wants people so bad it will compromise the message and the truth to get the pews filled and the finances to pay for what they're doing. We can't go there. And so I'd like you to turn with me to Romans chapter 12. I have a couple, 3 points I want to make. And I want you to see where I'm going and where God's taking us. And most of you could probably say from memory the first 2 verses of this chapter, because it's very simple. But yet it's so powerful that sometimes it's preached so much that we don't look at it. We don't pay attention. And we just kind of do our own thing. But look at me for a moment. Paul is not making a suggestion. Paul is not coming to the body at the church at Rome and saying, I suggest that you do this. It might be beneficial for you. It's a command. I beseech you. I strongly urge you. And I'm reading from the New King James. If your translation is a little different, and I've read in another translation this morning, it says this: I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service, or which is your spiritual worship. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is the good, the acceptable, and the perfect will of God. If you're taking notes, the first point, if we're going to have points this morning, is a consistent walk. A consistent walk. That I walk out my experience in Jesus Christ every day, every hour, and every minute. I'm not a part-time servant of God, and neither are you. I'm not living my life today for me and tomorrow for God. I'm coming to a place where I have determined that I'm going to have a perpetual growing process, the perspective that radically changes my life. And I don't care who knows, I'm not a part of this world. I'm not a part of what's going on in this world. The Bible says that this world is not our home. We're strangers and we're foreigners and we're sojourners in this world. And so I live with a new mindset, and we're going to talk about that in a few moments. A lot of Christians Now this is going to be radical. Just hang on before you, so you hear what I say and don't assume what I'm saying. A lot of Christians are going through problems and situations. I'm not saying everyone. I'm not saying every sickness. I'm not saying every problem. Because in their lives, they've opened the door for the enemy to come and bring things into their lives that should not be there. And God is saying, close the door. Don't walk in the darkness. Walk as children of light. Walk your life worthy of the calling of the Lord. When we go against Scripture, hear me. When we come to a place that we're compromising with the world, when we walk things out the way we want them instead of the way God wants them, we open a door and we allow the enemy access to our minds, our bodies, and our lives, and he's going to do everything in his power to destroy you. He comes to what? Steal, kill, and destroy. Over in the book of Philippians, in the book of Colossians, it says, as you have received Christ, so walk in him. Walk worthy of a child of God, serving the Master. You may say, but Pastor, that sounds pretty hard. No, it's not hard, it's easy. You say, what are you talking about? It's like being in a battle and compromising with the enemy. It's like being like some of the men in our church were in the Vietnam War, but working with the U.S. military some days and working with the Viet Cong with the purpose of defeating the U.S. military other days. That's what happens when we compromise. When we compromise, when we turn our back on the Word of God for a period of time, when we can say, I can live with situational ethics, I can walk out the situation no matter what it is, I can blend in, I can do the things that I want to do, live the way I want to live, and still call myself a Christian. That's why there's Christians in name only. Because they don't present their bodies, their lives, completely to God. And God is looking at us this morning and saying, what do you really want? What do you really want? Do you want to please the people in your relationships, or do you want to please the God who you're going to stand before someday? Do you want to walk out what your families want? Do you want to walk out what your children expect from you? Do you want to walk out the things that you're looking for and searching for? Or do you want to please me? And there's a choice that I have to make. And there's a choice that God is putting before us this morning. Am I going to walk this life consistently? Do I know the boundaries? Do I know what God expects from me? Listen to me. You're never going to reach someone for Jesus Christ if you're not walking in truth and the Holy Spirit and living your life. They're going to look at you and say, why do I need that? If your testimony doesn't match up with the words you're speaking, why should somebody want that? We're examples. Our lives reflect Jesus. And in this body of Christ, there's no room for compromising with the world. There's no room to allow the devil to have part of my life. There's no room. I kneel before God. I present myself 100% His. You heard the story. You know it. If you had a glass of water that was 98% water and 2% strychnine, would you drink it? Not if you're sane. The same with sin. If I'm 98% spotless but 2% sinning, 98% of the time, I'm just going for God. 2% of the time, I'm just going for the devil. How does that work? It doesn't. I know you're quiet. Can anybody say amen? Anybody believe this? Why should I go to Wheaton to hear him? I can get beat up here. And so it's a life of presenting myself to God. Number two is consistent in thought. Be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Ephesians 4 tells us, be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Again, we don't have the mindset of what's out there. We have the mindset from heaven. We have the thoughts from God. Don't be controlled in your mind by pursuits that aren't healthy. Don't be controlled in your mind by fantasies and things going on. Don't be controlled in your mind by, if only I could have this, or if only I could have that, or if only they would do this, if only that would happen. Be controlled in your mind by the Spirit of God. Let your thoughts be pleasing to the Lord. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart, and that word pleasing means delight. Lord, may you have delight in my thoughts. I understand something. I understand you can't control what thoughts will come into your head at times. But I do understand you can control how long they stay. How many of us, when something begins to happen, the first thing we think is, oh man, I hear cancer. That's death. I hear the government spending more money. Man, we're going to go down the tubes. I hear this, I hear that, and all of a sudden we have a reaction. You have a reaction emotionally and physically to almost every thought. The Bible says this, God will keep them in perfect peace. Who's worried about Mr. Obama? Who's concerned about the economy? Who wants to live next to the hospital so if they get sick, they can get there right away? No, whose minds are stayed on God. I understand that's difficult. I understand you can get in a conversation sometime where all of a sudden you're just as negative as the people talking to you. And you walk away saying, how in the world did I get in that? Do you know why? Because we're not controlling our thoughts. We're not radical enough to be different. We're not coming to a place extreme enough where I'm not going to dwell on the things that aren't of God. I'm going to walk it out in the peace of the Holy Spirit. I'm going to walk it out in the power of God. I'm going to walk it out knowing that I'm not conforming to this society. I'm not conforming to the negative or the positive that's in this world. I'm conforming to a higher power. I'm conforming to a power that's from God. And you know something? As we told you many times, God's economy is still good. God's health plan is still better than government. God's salvation package is amazing. God's forgiveness is unequaled. Before I went on vacation, I got called to be a witness in a court. And as a defense attorney was questioning me before a man was sentenced, he asked about the church. What church do you pastor? What do you believe? What do you know about this man? And I said, well, we believe that salvation is through Jesus Christ. I believe this man prayed a sinner's prayer with me. He accepted Christ. I believe God is changing his life. So the prosecuting attorney stood up and said, well, Pastor, how do you get forgiveness then? I looked at him. I said, you ask for it. No more questions. God wants us to walk with a radical mindset about him. Renewed, overcoming. Not looking at the darkness, looking at the light. Realizing that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. There's a couple connections there. It's not all things are good. It means that if you trust God, God will take the bad and make something good happen out of it. But there's also another thing. Am I walking, am I living in his purpose, or am I living in my purpose? For those who are called according to purpose. When we come to a place of letting the devil have part of our body or letting the devil have part of our mind, when we're not coming to a place of absolutely radically sold out and we don't care who knows it, even if there's a cost in this world, even if somebody don't want anything to do with me, when we live that way, we're not living with purpose. Jesus spoke to a man by the name of Saul, and you can read about it, and I just mentioned it last night. In Acts 26, Paul, who was Saul, is relating an incident on the Damascus Road. And Jesus spoke to him in that incident when he was knocked off his horse, and he said, I've appeared to you for this purpose, to make you a minister and a servant of mine. I appeared to you, God came to Paul, who was then Saul, with purpose. There's purpose in your life. There's purpose in what you do. There's purpose in how you live. There's purpose in what you say. And if we're not having that in our spirit and in our mind, we're just floating. Purpose. We need to come to that place where we body and mind function together. And I have one more. I need to be consistent in my talk. It's going to be a little different. Paul says this in verse 11 of chapter 12 of Romans. It says, not lagging in diligence, and this is the three words I want you to look at, but fervent in spirit. When I'm fervent in spirit, my words that I say have meaning. If you have your Bibles, turn to me with me to Jeremiah 20, verse 9. Jeremiah 20, verse 9. Jeremiah was going through some of the toughest times that anybody could go through because he was a prophet speaking to the king. And the servants of the king wanted to kill him. They put him in a pit one time. But here's what he says. And this is where I want us to come to. He says this. Then I said, I will not make mention of him nor speak any more in his name. But his word was in my heart like a burning fire shut up in my bones. And I was weary of holding it back, and I could not. Fervent in spirit. The word of God burning in your spirit so that when things are going on around you, and people may say you're nuts, you're radical, you're extreme, you're a Jesus freak, you're a nut. So what? you start speaking the Word of God. The Word of God is burning in your mouth where it starts coming out. Listen to me. Things aren't collapsing in our nation to the extent that we're no longer going to exist by tomorrow. Things aren't collapsing in this world to the extent that the world's no longer going to exist tomorrow. God has over 1,000 years yet to work on this earth. It may be our life changes, our lifestyle changes, I should say. It may be that things don't work out the way we want them to, but God is still in charge, working and ministering. And we may not see all the revivals we want to see, but if we're faithful and if we allow the Word of God to correct our walk and our talk and our thoughts, we're going to have our own personal revival. And your personal revival is going to suck some people right in by the Holy Spirit. And they're going to say, I like that. I need that. I see people who are consistent. I see people who are walking it out. I see people who are living it, going forth in the name of Jesus. And I want that. And God's presence and His power will sustain and keep and provide and strengthen. I was sitting in the campground and I picked up the Jorgensen's newsletter. I just started reading it. Then I read something about a lady named Donna. And I knew this because I happened to be there. But I read again. And it just opened things up again. How after taking 4 pints of blood, she walked out of the hospital after having been prayed for. And she's here this morning. I heard the doctor say, you may be back in 2 days or 2 weeks. But God said, I've done it. It's done. And you know, you can take that and you can let your mind just go with that in the spirit of what God will do for you. Of how the consistent walk in Christ not only has heavenly rewards, but has earthly benefits. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not what? All His benefits. You know, I'm almost human. I'll get there someday. But I've allowed my thoughts to forget the benefits. Look at all the faults. Look at all the problems. Instead of looking at what Christ has done and what Christ is going to do, I just look at, well, God didn't do it this time and God didn't do it that time. I got a letter I read last night from a lady where we left on Good Friday night and drove to Madison, Wisconsin. Got there the following day and prayed for a man who was very sick. And I guess at the funeral, the pastor mentioned that, but he said something that I kind of didn't like, not about me. He said, God healed this man, even though he died, because he gave his organs as donors. So his kidneys and his eyes and all this stuff. I don't like that kind of healing. I like the kind of healing where we arise and walk. I'm going to be radical about it. I have no problem with donors as long as a person is dead when they give it. And if you ever want to know the reason for that, I'll tell you. But I believe in a God who is bigger than just donating my organs. I believe in a God that can give me new organs. I believe in a God that can heal my mind. I believe in a God that loves us so much that the only impossibilities with God is what we make Him and what we don't accept. And friends, I want you to walk it out with me. I'm not on a journey for myself. I'm on a journey where I mature and grow and finish the race stronger than when I started. I'm not growing weaker in my faith. I want to grow stronger in my faith. I'm not looking for loopholes in this Christian experience. I'm not looking for, well, yeah, now I'm a Christian, I can do whatever I want. Now I'm a Christian, I can serve God with my whole heart, mind and soul. As we walk it out together, I want God speaking to you. I want the Holy Spirit leading you. I want to hear the words that God's telling you. And as you go outside these walls, God wants you, and I know I want you, to be a major witness of the goodness of God in this generation, at this time. Where I hear more from God, and I pay attention more to God than I do Fox or CNN or NBC. Or CBS or ABC. Where the men at the coffee club and in the cafe know when you walk in or I walk in, there's going to be a new perspective coming. There's going to be some new concepts coming. There's reality coming in, and reality just is truth of what's going on and what can happen. I want you to know, and I'm done, that God could turn around this nation in a heartbeat if every pastor and every church would preach the truth of Jesus Christ, bring the reality of the gospel to their parishioners, and their parishioners would pick it up and run with it. You could not imagine the potential that's in this country to do the work of God. But I want to remind you of this. As a football ref, and watching kids from year to year as they go from sophomores to juniors to seniors, whether in high school or college, and you see someone out there in their freshman or sophomore year, and Stephen probably knows I'm talking about, you can see potential. But you see them the same time in their senior year and nothing has changed, because they didn't make the commitment to become better. And they went through their whole life with potential. There's potential in this church for revival. There's potential in this town for amazing awakening to the kingdom of God. But I don't want to be saying that 15 years from now. I want to have seen it happen. There's potential in your life through the Holy Spirit to be absolutely, radically powerful for Jesus. But unless we make the choice and take the steps, 10 years from now, 15 years from now, 20 years from now, and maybe by then I'm in heaven, and you can say, whew. I don't want to hear somebody saying, well, there's still potential at COC. Let's see it happen. Let's see the presence of God do it. Let's go into His presence. Isn't it amazing that John would say, I was lifted up into the presence of God? Let's be lifted up. And you will not see Jesus without being changed. You will not be consumed by the Spirit of God without being changed. As good as you might be, as wonderful as you are, I should take the offering now. as blessed as we are, you cannot come into God's presence without being touched, being changed, and living that life and walking it out. Potential, yes. But I want to see the reality. I want to see the potential that the Spirit put within us together blossom and mature. You don't have to backslide. You don't have to grow cold. You don't have to succumb to stress and pressure. You don't have to let all the things going around you destroy you. You just need to come into the presence of God and say, God, here I am. I want your thoughts. I want you to take my body. I want the fire of God burning within me. And I'm going to walk it out. Amen or oh me.